Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
Paul said the other day, even I, Paul. Paul was a great, great apostle, prophet, a teacher. Great man of the tribe of Benjamin. Stood at the feet of Gamaliel. He said, I prayed in tongues. I prayed in other tongues than you all. I've been to the third heavens. I've seen Jesus. He said, I've seen Jesus on the way of Damascus. I met Jesus. I've been to the third heavens. And he had a call to go to Thessalonica, a great city. In those days, a superpower in those days. And Paul was resisted. He was hindered. Not once, but twice. And Paul said, I would have come unto Thessalonica once and again, but Satan hindered me. Please appreciate and understand that the enemy's number one assignment in all of our lives is to hinder us. Is to hinder you from going forward. His assignment is to hinder people from getting saved. And if he can't stop you from getting saved, then his number two assignment is to make sure that you don't serve God effectively. So he comes into the church where you are supposed to find refuge, and he will cause you to be offended right in the church to get you out of the church. Because there's no other place he can attack you and get you out to go back where you used to be but the church. So he comes right in here and use your brother and your sister to offend you. And folks in the church don't understand. We think that church folks are angels. Church folks are not angels. They are just like you. So stop being shocked. And stop being surprised. When you see bad things in the church. Stop having this crazy mentality. Like church people are angels. They are not angels. We are all sinners. We are all seeking for God. We are all sick. And we have all come to the hospital for the doctor to fix us. So stop trying to find out what is wrong with me. Something is wrong with everybody. So I don't get surprised when I'm offended by my brethren. Whenever I'm offended by a believer, by another preacher, I understand exactly what's going on. That the enemy is on my case. That's all he's doing. And he has to use somebody close to me. Somebody within. To help me. To get me to go back. But I have no place to go. I'm stuck with you. This is where I belong. You know, the reason why folks are not prospering and folks are not flourishing in the church is because they are not planted. The Bible says, those that are planted in the house of our God will flourish. If you want to flourish, you have to be planted. Tell somebody, planted, planted, planted. And you see, the other day, Paul said something. He said, brethren, be unmovable. Why? Why be unmovable? Because there are things that will move you. And he said, be unmovable. And always, not every now and then, but always abounding in the Lord and in the work of the Lord. Knowing that your reward in the Lord is never in vain. Are you hearing me, somebody? We get offended about everything. We complain about everything. We have issues about everything. Psalm 119, verse 165. Psalm 119 and 165. The Bible says, great peace have they that love your word. Nothing offends them. Nothing. Somebody say nothing. Nothing. We get offended by everything. Everything hurts us. We are hurt by everything. Offended by everything. It's kids and babies who are hurt and offended about everything. It's time to grow up and stop being offended by everything. Are you hearing me, somebody? It's time to grow up. God is counting on you. God is depending on you. And all you're doing is complaining and crying about everything. Come on, church. Psalm 119, verse 165. Great peace have they that love your word. Put it on the screen if you can. Nothing shall offend them. Nothing means what? Nothing means what? Look at someone and say, what offends you? What? Nothing. Great peace are they which love thy word, thy law. Nothing. Nothing shall offend them. Jesus said the other day, he said, blessed. Blessed is whosoever that is not offended in me. Not out there, but in me. Blessed is whosoever that is not offended in the church. Satan will attack you in the church with offense. Because offense is a snare, it's a bait, it's a trap. And when the enemy wants to get you out, he uses offense. And sometimes he can even use the pastor to offend you. But you got to come to a place like Elijah, following Elijah, to say that even if the pastor offends me, I ain't going nowhere. This is where I belong. This is where I'm planted. Is anybody hearing me? Come on, lift up your hands. Shout, yeah! Listen, I have people in my church that have been with me for 40 years. When I lived in America for 8 years, and I went back, I still had people who had been with me for 30 years, 25 years. They are still in the church. Pastor Paul, I will tell you, most of the sons and the ladies around me, they've been with me 30 years. 20 years, 25 years, 28 years. They've grown, have kids, and their kids have married and they are in the church. And are you telling me they've never been offended? What are you talking about? They've been hurt, offended, bruised, beaten by me, myself. I've been on them, hit them down, knocked them down, master at karate, all kinds of stuff, and they are still planted. Come on, put your hands together for Jesus. Church, Satan's number one assignment is to resist you. That's it. Look at somebody and say, resist. That is his assignment. Paul, as anointed as Paul was, Paul said, Satan hindered me twice. The first time you invited me and I was to come, he blocked me. Blocked Paul. Then the second time, blocked him again. If you look at chapter 5 and the 17th verse of the same Thessalonica, the book of Thessalonians, then Paul now concluded and said, pray without ceasing. Why? Because if you hear this, I need to remind you of these things because we forget so easily. Hear me. God is not in charge of this world. Satan is. I got to remind you because we forget, Pastor Paula. Folks just forget. I hear this song, he got a whole world in his hands. It's true. It's religiously true, but it's scripturally wrong. God is not in charge of this world. Satan is. You can look at me with that Orlando look, and it don't bother me at all. It is what it is. Come with me to 2 Corinthians 4:4. 2 Corinthians 4:4. Put it on the screen. 2 Corinthians 4:4. I need my readers to be with me. Work with me fast. 2 Corinthians 4:4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. Look at it. Put it on the screen. Let's see it. Is there a problem with the screen?
You want me to read?
All right, go ahead, read it.
In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not.
Who is the God of Israel? Who?
Satan.
God is the God of Israel. And the God of Israel, which is God, blinds the minds of people? No. This is Satan. In whom? Go ahead. You see? Small g. That is Satan. That is not God. Go ahead. In whom? Go ahead.
In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not.
So the first thing, you know why a lot of folks are not getting saved? And a lot of your loved ones are not coming to God? Because they've been veiled. Say a veil. The enemy has cast a veil by a spell. So the eyes of the understanding has been veiled. And in the name of Jesus tonight, we break every spirit of blindness. We destroy the veil in the name of Jesus. Say, I destroy the veil right now. Say, I break the spirit of blindness right now. In the name of Jesus, shout yes. And one of the assignments of the enemy is to blind people. And there are folks in the church, blind, veiled, can't see. Nations are veiled. Leaders of nations are veiled. And that's why you got to pray for a president. Because when you don't pray for those in authority, there are people around them that will cast spells on them to veil them so they can't see. And they do that so they can control the leader. So they can manipulate the leader. So they can exploit the leader. So they can use the leader to do their own biddings and to carry out their own desires. Not everybody around leaders are supposed to be there. Not everybody that is around leaders, are you hearing me, are there for the leader. A lot of them are around the leader for themselves. But I pray that in the name of Jesus, anybody around Pastor Paula who is not here for Pastor Paula, but is here for themselves, I command them to be removed in the name of Jesus. Say yes. And anyone around your president that is not supposed to be around him, but they are there for themselves, let them be removed in the name of Jesus. Say yes. Satan's assignment is to blind you. And you can be a child of God and be blinded. He can veil you so you don't see. You don't see. One of the reasons why God said, let there be light. The first thing God said when he examined the state of the earth and saw that darkness has covered the entire face of the earth, the first thing God said was, I need light. Give me some light. And so he said, let there be light. And there was light. And when light came, he could see clearly. And then when he could see, he said, now, let my desire and let my vision and my dreams come into full effect. And he began to command, and everything he said happened. Where there is light, everything is possible. Today, let there be light. Let there be light in new destiny. Let there be light in your family. Let there be light in your life. Somebody say, let there be light. The enemy loves it when he veils us and we can't see. And you see, Satan is the God of this world. He runs the system. He's in charge, not God. But God didn't put Satan in charge. Adam did. Go to Luke chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. Luke 4, 5 and 6. I need to remind you. You know, sometimes I tell my bishop, I said, stop preaching new things all the time till they get it. Because sometimes we keep giving you new diet, and you haven't moved your bowels. You haven't digested. Mm-hmm. And we keep feeding you with new stuff. And you are constipated. Because you are not getting it. Got to move and eliminate. Get some things, get rid of some stuff. So you can get in some new things. See, I hear you. Look at Luke 4. Mm-hmm.
And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whosoever I will give it to.
You see, this is Satan speaking. He said the kingdoms of this world, the power thereof, the glory. So the world has kingdoms. America is a kingdom. The world has power. The world has glory. And hear me, I am not in any way enticed or impressed with the glory and the kingdoms and the powers of this world. They don't impress me at all. I have dealt with several presidents, many of them, and I still deal with them. They are men like you and I. They are men like you and I. They don't impress me. I'm not impressed by so many things anymore. Are you hearing me? And let me tell you something. 2017 is the beginning. We are counting down the rapture. And I know a lot of you don't believe it, but you don't have to believe it, because Jesus said it to be like in the days of Noah and in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. Business as usual. Building houses, men marrying, you know, everybody just doing the normal thing everybody does, and then suddenly shall come. And as soon as, watch this, as soon as the capital moves from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, start counting. Because there are only two prophecies that has not yet come to pass. It's 10 prophecies. 8 has come to pass. 2 that has not yet come to pass is the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem, and 2, the gospel being preached to all nations. As soon as the capital moves, start counting. The rapture is at hand. And the rapture is not for everybody. Not every Christian is going to go to heaven. Let me tell you. I'm just telling you. I know you've heard all this message of grace, grace, grace. I believe in the message of grace. But the Bible says, working your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now watch this. I know you have a passport as a citizen of the United States, but you can't travel to another country as a citizen of the United States if you don't have a ticket. You have a passport, you need a ticket. The ticket to heaven is purity. And the Bible said, let him that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. So going to heaven is not automatic. You have to work it. As a believer, you purify yourself even as he is pure. So you don't live anyway, anyhow, and go to heaven because you're a Christian. You got to purify yourself even as he is pure. Say yes. Who made Satan the God of this world? Adam did. Adam gave him the dominion mandate. Somebody say the dominion mandate. God gave Adam the dominion mandate to govern the earth. And Adam ceded the dominion mandate to Satan by deception. Amen. He became selfish. And there's a lot of selfishness in the church. And selfishness is the womb and the origin of every sin. And one of the demands of Jesus to every believer is, if you want to follow me, if you want to be my disciple, then he said, take up your cross, deny yourself daily, and follow me. If you can't deny self, you can't follow Jesus. Amen. And there's a lot of selfishness in the church. Everything is about me, 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 me. We are the only religion in this world who don't have a prayer life. The Jews pray 3 times a day. The Muslims 5 times a day. How many times in a day do we pray? We don't have a prayer life. We don't even pray over our meals anymore. And we apologize when we go to restaurants to eat. We apologize for who we are. And other religions don't apologize for who they are. We eat everything without praying over it because we want to be politically correct. Sometimes I go to eat with people and they don't wait to pray. They start eating. And when the food comes, I don't pray over the empty table. This thing where you pray over the empty table, I don't do that. I wait for the food to come. And I pray over what I'm seeing. And before the food comes, they start drinking, they start eating bread and start eating, and I keep quiet. And when the food comes, I say, let us pray. And I say, Father, first of all, for those who didn't pray before they ate, we repent. Number two, we sanctify the food set before us, including the one in their stomachs, in the name of Jesus. As funny as it looks like, that is how far we have backslided. Other religions, they pray in the plane, at the airport, everywhere. They are not ashamed. They don't apologize for who they are. We apologize for everything. We've lost it. We don't even know who we are. We don't even pray when we go to bed anymore. We just sleep. Then when you have bad dreams and nightmares, and you see cows chasing you because you ate steak last night. Hallelujah. And you don't know why a cow is chasing you. We don't have a prayer life anymore. Everything goes. We backslide it. I'm telling you. You know, I have a message here, and I'll see if it works. I'll preach it. New challenges requires new strategies. And it's a good word. It's loaded. But I'm not going to give it to you if you are not getting right the old things we've told you. You know, I'm not interested in preaching new things and making people happy. Sometimes in my church, I can preach the same thing Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. I don't care. I'll keep preaching it till you get it, till it works. This is not preaching new things. It's getting, working it, working what you have been given. Work it. Adam ceded this world to Satan. Satan controls this world. And his assignment is to resist you and I and to hinder you and hinder me so that we don't fulfill the reason for which we were born and why we came to this earth. That is his assignment. Block them. Hinder. Resist. And that's why you and I must put up a fight in the name of Jesus. Somebody say, fight! So stop all this nice Christianity. It don't work. I'm just telling you, all this political correctness don't work. And that's why God had to bring somebody to the White House that is not a politician. God is telling America something. That you are too political correct. You say everything right, do everything right. So he brought somebody who don't know how to say it right, do it right. Somebody who is just himself. So now, all the politicians are embarrassed, they are shaking, they don't understand what's going on, what is he going to say next, everybody is nervous, and I said, that's good for you. And it's the same thing in the church. The same thing in the church. We have it all right. Saying the right thing, doing the right thing, political correctness, spiritual correctness, and people are dying. Satan is killing people in the church. There is no altar calls. There is no healing. There is no power. I love it when God messes it all up. I want God to mess up our doctrine, mess everything up, so people come to church and they don't know what's going to happen. That's what I do to my church in Ghana. When I'm coming to preach, they don't know what to expect. It can be anything. I don't get everybody running around right now. I like that. Amen. Amen. Satan's assignment is to hinder you. It's to block you and it's to resist you. And you know why I'm preaching this? Because a lot of you have been resisted. A lot of you have been hindered. A lot of you have been blocked. And you have accepted it. And you think it's all right. But my assignment tonight is to dare you, in the name of Jesus, to rise up to the occasion and to break that hindering spirit and to break that resistance and break that opposition and break that blockade and tell the devil, you will not resist me, you will not hinder me, you will not block me, you will not stop me. I'm coming through, I'm breaking through in the name of Jesus. Somebody say, I'm breaking through right now. Sit down for 2 minutes. In the next 30 days, in the next 30 days, I see mind-blowing miracles. 30 days. And I'll show you how to do it. I'll show you how to do it. You know, a lot of people have received prophecy. And I've seen people receive prophecy in my church about their finances, that they're going to do great. Their finances are going to multiply. And they get excited, they clap their hands and they laugh. And after that, they are under attack. And everything is dried up. And they come to me and say, Papa, what went wrong? And I say, you. They say, what happened? I say, you. When prophecy comes, that is not the time to play and to clap your hands and get excited and tell everybody, did you hear what the Lord said about me? Did you hear? No. That is the time for you to contend for the manifestation of that word like never before. Say yes. Say yes. Say yes. Come with me to the book of, let's check, I think it's 2 Timothy 2:18. Check 2 Timothy 2:18. Let's see what is there. I want to show you some few things quickly. Then I want us to pray. Check it quickly.
Who concerning the truth have erred?
No, that's 2 Timothy. Mm-hmm. Go to 1 Timothy 2:18. 1 Timothy 2:18. I need some of you to be fast. Work with me, okay? I'm preaching something else. It's not my message, okay? I just want to remind you of this truth. Is the 1 Timothy 2:18 and 2 Timothy. What does 2 Timothy 2:18 say? Quickly. Huh? No. He said, this charge give I unto thee. 1:18. Thank you. Check 1:18. Thank you. Check 1:18. This charge give I unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. Okay?
Yes.
Yes.
This charge I commit unto thee, my child Timothy.
Yeah.
According to the prophecies which led thy way to thee, that by them thou mayest war the good war.
So what do you do by prophecy? That is what prophecy is all about. When prophecy comes, you war. You contend by the prophecy for the manifestation. If you don't war with the prophecy and you hold your peace, it's not going to happen. And the church don't know that. And a lot of you seated here under the sound of my voice, there are great prophecies over your life. A lot of you here, you are sons and daughters of promise. You are on assignment, and the devil is also on assignment. His assignment is to hinder you. His assignment is to block your prophecy. His assignment is to resist you. And if you don't put up a fight and you hold your peace, they will stop you. And I've seen a lot of people die laying in their grave who were born to do great things for God. And they misunderstood. They misunderstood the assignment. They misunderstood the rules of engagement and Satan killed them. Lift up your right hand and say, I will not die prematurely. Say, I will not die by any means. But I shall live and declare the works of God in the land of the living. Say, I shall not die, but I shall live and declare the works of the Lord in the land of the living.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233 26 767 6055. +233 26 767 6055. Or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.